When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ？どこにいるのかな？見えない。
あ、こんなとこに。あ
What's good, Internet? It's Monday, July 20th, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 329. I'm your host, Austin Walker. Joining me today, Gita Jackson.
Hello.
Ricardo Contreras.
Yo.
And Patrick Klepek.
The god you worship is dead.
Okay, well, that seems a little straight.
Well, it also seems maybe like a really hard way for a trailer to start, too.
Well, you know, Shin Megami Tensei, was that five?
Five.
Or was
five.
That
five.
The yeah. Nocturne? Okay. There was a Nintendo mini direct today, which was not even a stream. It was just a video, which they did say. They did say going into it, they were like, this is just going to be
isn't
a video.
But that's most of what they do, right? Like, their directs are never live. They're just uploads.
No, but they are often streamed video, like move files,
yes, like
right?
There's like a YouTube premiere sort of thing.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, we're all going to watch this together. This was not that. No. This was 100% just like, hey, just watch this video,
I found this
asshole.
On my hard drive.
Yeah.
I opened up E3 2020 and was like, drag to upload.
And yeah, the big stuff is definitely the SMT stuff at the end. But because it's only 8 minutes, it's probably worth hitting what was in there, right? It's some DLC for Cadence of Hyrule, the Crypt of the Necrodancer Zelda crossover game. Like new characters and some songs and I think some story stuff. There's
the game that I hoped like heralded Nintendo with like a change of philosophy of how they would handle their characters. And nope, it was just the one game.
I mean, who knows? It might still have been that, but Nintendo. It might just be that means that they'll do one of these every other year.
Yeah, 10 years later, you're like, oh yeah, they did do a couple of them.
Yeah, exactly. A character for Rogue Company, which
is
a game I've never heard anyone talk about. I've never heard a single person be like, oh, I'm so stoked for Rogue Company. Which it's Hi-Rez, which is the Smite studio, and something else also.
Don't worry, I'm watching Tribes. The gameplay video.
I don't remember. Anyway, it's like a third person shooter competitive.
Paladins.
They do Paladins. So it's like Paladins, but like the character art is like, what if we did Watch Dogs or something? Or especially this character who is just like cyber mask, LED face, had a big smiley face. Anyway, who cares?
Who cares?
That's unfair. It looks fine. The truth is, it will probably find a bigger audience than anyone is giving it credit for, because it's going to be a free-to-play game on the Switch that probably feels pretty good to play because they've been making competitive games for a long time. It's just one of those things where it's like, it's hard to get excited about, like, here's a character for a game no one's played yet. I don't think anyone's played that game. I don't think that there's a beta or anything. There's a new wrestling game. There's a new like arcadey, which I think is the way to go with wrestling games. WWE 2K Battlegrounds, where like everyone has kind of big heads and jumps really high, and
they're like chibis.
They're bigger than chibis. They're like ripped chibis. They're like,
yeah.
They're not just like, oh, cute. They're like all cute, but their muscles are big too.
It's like an Antifa Super Soldier chibi?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that guy out of Seattle.
Oh, that dude.
Putting fingers
ripped.
In the air chibi.
Or that guy from that video in Portland, like just got wailed
that's what
on.
That's what I meant.
That's what Patrick was. Yeah. That
oh,
guy
I love
rules.
That guy. 100%. That guy does rule.
Yeah.
Shout out to that man.
And then they were like, oh, here's the last one. And the last one was actually two things. One of them was Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne, an HD remaster of that coming out in spring. And then the second one was SMT 5, which is the one where your god is dead.
I don't know. I watched the trailer for Nocturne, and it seems like that's the concurrent theme is...
Oh, that's SMT.
God is dead. Yeah.
Yeah,
Isn't that what they do in SMT. They kill not just a god. It's literally Yahweh.
Yeah, they tend to things tend to go bad for if you're a god. Things tend to go bad for if you're a devil. It's bad for everybody in the apocalypse. Apocalypse where law and chaos have come to fight each other, and you're the one in the fucking middle. So,
is Nocturne just the name for three, or is that like a separate thing? Because it was like Shin Megami Tensei three Nocturne.
That's just the name for three.
Okay.
That is just the name for three. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I only ever played
the first one
four.
I tried to play. It was a PS2 game, and I was really into a lot of JRPGs, and people were like, yo, Shin Megami Tensei is great. And I was like, all right, well, I'll play this new one, Nocturne. And I found the motherfucker in the trailer. It's like a pretty different combat system. I couldn't even articulate it now because I don't remember.
It's the kind of thing
collecting demons or something.
It laid the basis for Persona 4 in many ways. The way that the combat works here. Mm. They made it much simpler in 4, obviously. But it's the kind
of game is way out there
in the Shin Megami Tensei games in terms of changing up battle mechanics and stuff. And then for the Persona games, they're like, let's do what we did, but less confusing.
I bought this game, made it to... If the timestamp of 58 seconds in of the Nocturne trailer, it is this skeleton man wearing... I don't know, some Mexican party garb, and he's the first boss of the game. It is really
hard.
The
Matador, yeah. Uh-huh.
The Matador, and I went back to the GameStop, bought a strategy guide, and was like, I don't know how to play this game.
Damn.
Like, still got my ass kicked by the Matador, and was like, all right, put the disc away. I'm good. I guess this isn't for me.
Oh.
So now I just want to I'm gonna buy this game not to beat it, just to get past the Matador. I just need to put that past behind
You've
me.
You've played so many more RPGs between now and then, you know.
I should
and
be fine.
Yeah, you've conquered the geometry RPG stuff of Mario of
You're
Mar-
a man
Paper Mario.
Now,
so
Patrick.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know,
well,
you're not a little boy
let's
anymore.
Not go too far, but.
Cool. Well, that's that event. That's that 8-minute little video, which I think that's a fine way of doing these. I'm not mad at it.
Man,
I was
Mario,
happy about
though?
That.
Where Mario? Where?
It's Mario.
Probably
time.
Like Mario September, probably, or August.
Probably
August, because the first of those games will come out in September.
Yeah, my guess is like rather than it being like something to get excited for all summer, it'll be like, and by the way, the first one is really close, or how are they going to handle
the role,
what if it's just like a hub thing that you download and it just like fills in over
the Mario hub? That's good.
Ooh,
I like this.
Like it's just a hub world that I'm jumping in between. Oh,
I see. You're saying like if it's like literally like the Mario 64 castle.
Yeah, and then each door is just like a new. Like, hey, this week we added another Mario game that we've remastered for the Switch.
Cool. They should put you in charge of video games, I guess.
Nintendo should
talk to this guy.
I'll be your Mario ambassador. It's like the one thing I'm able to convince my family to leave Illinois for.
God.
The cursed version of that is that they make it the map for the new whatever was supposed to happen at in Japan, Universal Studios, the Nintendo World or something.
So beyond that, no other big announcements, or I guess we have other stuff coming up this week. This week is the big Xbox event. It's the 23rd, right?
It's Thursday.
And they came out and they basically said, listen, it's video games. Don't expect a price for a box. Don't expect like more details on this is going to be video games for however long this event is. So we'll see.
There'll
be Halo.
You know, there are quotes for Austin and I to hang our emotions on, such as Phil Spencer out there being like, you know what, we're like – you know, we're really proud of like the Japanese like developers we're working with and yada, 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 which is like could just be just normal, just total bullshit, just like whatever, you know, exec saying things he's going to say. But that also could mean, yo, where's my start my summoning circle for Elden Ring?
For Elden Ring. I'm not letting myself believe. I think
that game's been canceled. I don't believe that.
What?
I'm just putting it out.
That game definitely.
You know, guess that game's just not coming anymore. And then when
the sentence that launched a million fucking articles.
Patrick Klapik, vice journalist.
Reports. Look, if I put out into the world that Elden Ring has been canceled,
they have
some software
will
be forced to confirm that it's still in development. Thus.
Checkmate, Miyazaki.
It's fucking four-dimensional chess over here.
It totally is. God. Yeah, I will be very happily surprised by that. we'll see, right? We'll see.
I feel like I'm very curious about what their lineup is. I think they had like this is like potentially such an enormous moment for them as
it better be
like as a pivot point. Just in terms of like recreating the perception of like what they are as a yes. like software company, it may just be a reinforcing that actually they're cool with being a service company that occasionally, you know what I mean? Like they seem yeah. to be trying, but they seem to be trying to position themselves as like, hey, we understand the last like decade has not been very good for like Microsoft developed games and it's going to be different this time. I'm just curious, like what is that positioning? What is that foot forward? Because
like
it's like,
right.
Well, they bought those companies, but also like for it to be another Halo,
right?
And I'm excited to see that game. I've like
very
heard
curious.
Really good things about it, both from like its initial conception stage to some of the stuff they're doing with it. So I'm like really legitimately excited to see it. But but like saying like your first new thing is another Halo is that's not necessarily like the card I put down to be like, hey, things are different now.
Right?
Like, here's
right.
another Halo. Here's another Gears. I'm just curious how far they go in the direction of trying to say, hey, we're is it just they try to chase Sony? It's like, yes, we can make dad games too. Like, here's our suite of dad games.
Let Sony own the dad.
Hey, make
game
some
market.
Mom games. You know what? Like, that's, just you know, go in a different direction a little bit.
That's right.
Is
Mix it,
just, it
up. So, yeah.
Is it just me, or does it feel like because there was no E3, they're now playing chicken with the pricing of these boxes?
Oh, they are absolutely
100%.
No one wants to be the first one to say how expensive, how much money they want from you,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
You want to be able to be that second person who can be like, ah, but come over here. Let me show
ours
you the real
deal. Ours is
$30
lower than a bunch of Xboxes cheaper than PlayStation sort of thing. Because like I had not heard about the PlayStation digital box prior to them announcing it, which makes you think that was like perhaps something done in response to all the rumors that Microsoft
There's
is
two.
Doing. I guess on the PS5 case, it's going to be the same box, but just one without a disc drive. Whereas with the Xbox, they're going to have like literally different hardware in the other one. But
which definitely,
I expect Xbox to be cheaper no matter what.
Too.
It just yeah. I would not be surprised if their high end box is more expensive and their low end box is significantly cheaper as a way of trying to take advantage of that split.
Mm-hmm. I'm so curious about how all that goes. For now, though, we're playing video games and not thinking about ones that won't come out for another 4 or 5 months. What do you all been?
until they're delayed again for another 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. What have you all been getting up to? I know, actually, we should wrap back around to the game of the moment for some of us, Ooblets. I know Kato and Gita, you both have put some time into this after I talked about it. I know, Gita, you played it before me, but you just were not on the podcast on Friday. So here is your space. Please tell us about your Ooblets.
Talk
to me about this game.
Sick. And what I did while I was sick was sleep, but also play Ooblets. I played a lot of Ooblets, and Ooblets really just is what if Pokemon was Harvest Moon. That's mm-hmm. just what the game is. And something about that really, really hit the spot for me last week when I was feeling really under the weather. The thing that I keep sort of tripping over is not the mechanics of the game, which feel very natural, right? Like, it really gets the sort of loop of growing new friends and farming very, very well for me. Once you unlock the ability to offload huge shipments of Karoots or Sweetie Beaties and get a lot of money and then be able to upgrade your house really easily, then suddenly the game just felt very I understood what it was asking me to do forever Ooh. And ever, essentially, which was expand my farm, grow more friends, and then, you know, unlock everything in the general vicinity. And I also really appreciate that instead of cockfights, you just have them do dance battles. That's much nicer. And you're just nicer overall to the Ooblets than you are to Pokemon. You're not very nice to Pokemon.
Damn.
Anyway, you're not. You put them in little
Pokemon.
Balls.
Yeah.
Your Ooblets follow you around.
And they dance.
And you give them a house. You can
give
them
a
house.
That's true.
Yeah. I just feel
you
like that's more fair.
They do help you farm. Help you. You can be like, yo, do this for me real quick.
Yeah.
You stand here all day and turn this. So I'm just saying, there. You know, let's not.
There's still some sketchiness,
not
okay?
Count our Ooblets before they hatch.
But at least
here.
They want to come with you and they don't flee from you when they see you.
This
you
is
know?
True. Right.
They run up towards
they do
you
run
and they're
towards
like,
you.
Listen,
yo, we got to dance right now. But only if you have two broken lump stumps or whatever the hell those things
are
called.
Only if you have two planklets and a bunch of Nernies or whatever.
Yeah, if you. I need 8 Nernies to dance right now.
I always need 8 Nernies to dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the phraseology that I'm sometimes with it and sometimes I'm not with it, you know?
Yeah, I do know. I 100% know. Because
sometimes...
Well, I said this last week, but like up top it's the hardest because they're just dumping it all on you and you're not even farming yet. And you're like, why are we doing this?
So cutesy wootsy. It is, but it stops being cutesy wootsy once you get into the rhythms of the town that you're in. Once you sort of spend time in Badgetown and you realize that like Nernies, like they're just like any other like infrastructural object in this world.
They're all people resource don't call you them, get from rocks, you know?
Yes.
Instead of calling it stone, they're calling it Nernies.
Yeah. You know, people aren't like, saying Nerny Wernies and being all cutesy wootsy like all the time. They're generally just normal people that you talk to. The named characters.
Like the main set. Yeah.
Like especially Ara, who she thinks she makes potions. That girl, the goth girl, who's my favorite, of course.
The town goth girl.
Yeah. The town. I love her.
She is
such a sort of mundane kind of older teen that even though she's surrounded by all this twee stuff, it kind of grounds the tweeness in like actual human behavior. So instead of, you know, sometimes I feel like the thing that I dislike the most about quote unquote wholesome sort of games where the cutesy wootsiness is that it quickly feels like it is absolutely not in touch with any part of like actually being a human. And that I do really like things that are cute and sweet and wholesome.
Yeah.
But my experience of the world is incredibly mundane, right? I wake up and I eat breakfast and I have to go to work to earn money for a job. And in this town, people also do those things. And most of their lives, in fact, revolve around the things they do for a living rather than how cute and sweet and wholesome things are. There is a sense that it's a nicer place to live in the world that we live in. I mean, especially because there's cute little animals that just want to be your friends all the time. But it doesn't seem like, it seems like wholesomeness and cuteness exists alongside just sort of the regular boringness of being a person. And that's the thing that's eventually making that all the terminology a lot easier for me to sort of be with and be around for long periods of time.
Have either of you gotten to like the first like distant area that you take a vehicle to get to?
I'm not there yet. I'm about to repair the hot air balloon.
Yeah, the hot air balloon. That area is interesting because it makes me not love the combat, the dancing. So for we didn't go deep into this on the last episode, but in order to recruit new ooblets who are just like wandering around, and you can grow them or you can kind of bring them on via... you can grow them, and to grow them you need seeds, and one of the ways you can get seeds is by beating them in dance battles. And when you beat them in a dance battle, you can be like, yeah, give me a fucking seed, and they're like, well, okay, and they give you a seed. I really liked the dance battles at first. They're this kind of card game fight system where the goal is to get to a certain number of points based on how many ooblets are in the battle, basically. And each ooblet, there's like some default cards that you have that are things like spend 2 energy to get 6 points, right? Or spend 3 energy to steal 5 points, or, you know, stuff like that, right? And then each ooblet has their own cards also. And those cards, they get new cards as they level up and stuff like that. And some of those cards are dope. The ooblet I started with has a card that was just like, 1 energy, duplicate the effects of the next card you play.
Yeah.
So you could play that one and then like play a 2 or eventually a 3 or a 4 cost card and get just like huge point bonuses. And at first that was really good. What I'm finding is those dance battles, once you get a big squad, are pretty long. You know, they're like 6-7 minutes long. And when you're doing a dungeon style space where you're doing like 6 of those in a row, I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, and I'm going to win each of these. It's just going to take me longer than I want to because every time you play a card, there's a little dance. Every time that goes to the opponent's side, they have to dance. You know what I mean? Like, and I get the cuteness of it. I really do. I think it actually works really well visually. There's like an ooblets dance circle. All the ooblets come out from nowhere to form a circle around your dance crews. There's a huge boombox. Your trainer.
The music's really cute.
Right. You're like doing a little like two-step. You know what I mean? You're like staying with it.
Yeah.
And then it goes on like that for a while. And then it happens again. And then it happens again, and it's fine. But it's one of those things that's like, I would like this better almost if it was quicker or if there was less of it in these. Like, when it happens, it seems to happen in bigger chunks for me because of this sort of dungeon event. You know, it's not a dungeon. Like, yeah. I'm saying a dungeon, but it feels like a dungeon because it's like, go over there, get this thing done. And you get there, and the guy who's there is like, oh, to get that thing done, you need to come back with six of these dedonkles or whatever it is that he needs.
Yeah.
And so you have to go do that. They're not dedonkles. I don't remember what they were.
Yeah, I also found, for me, the combat, I don't know. I love, you know, initially also I really, really liked the sort of the deck-based thing. And I like every time you level up, you get a new card for your guys. And I like, you know, you figure out which of your ooblets will eventually gain which kind of cards. Because, you know, the first card you get for Clomper is a stun-related card. Ooh. And then you realize every time you level up, you'll get more cards that stun enemies. So if you ever want to stun all your enemies, you need more Clompers in your crew, et cetera, et cetera. But I was finding that I was beating other ooblets so quickly and so much. I was beating them by so much that it felt a little bit cruel after a while. I would be in these scenarios where it'd be like a 6-on-6 ooblet dance battle, and I would have to reach 40 points before the other team reached 40 points. And I would just dominate in a way where they would not be able to catch up to me. And I was like, you might as well just give me the seed. Mm-hmm. We could just stop dancing. Yeah. Like, I clearly won this.
Just please, I'll just end this right now. Yeah, yeah. I feel you. Go ahead. Gita, go ahead and finish your thought, and then we'll go to Kato.
Oh, okay, sorry. I just feel like I like most things about this game, but the combat doesn't feel very balanced at all. It feels like one of the main things they needed people to do for an open, you know, this early access was to play the combat and to tell them this, that it's not very balanced, and when it reaches a higher level of difficulty, it seems, it just becomes, like, incredibly tedious. Mm-hmm. So that and all the clipping, I think that's something that they need to work on. Yeah, also,
fair,
yeah.
Kato, how about you? What time are you having with ooblets?
Good, but it's definitely so early on. It's I'm like not having many battles at all, just because I'm getting the farm up and running. Because you need to get those items in order to have the fights in the first place. Yeah. So it's actually been kind of all right because the fights are few and far between, and like, I don't know, they're like a nice little like comma in between the farming, which I'm finding all right. I know I don't often play that sort of like farming game, but I'm enjoying this one so far. It does feel, given that I don't often engage in this type of game, I'm having a little bit of trouble figuring out when it's okay to go to sleep. Just like understanding that, you did enough in a day. You did enough.
Right,
you're done. Go to bed. Yeah. And like, as like starting to
out of context, Kato, just take that.
Just take that. Yeah.
Who went sleeping? When? I don't know.
Kato, can I ask you your expert opinion? As a Pokemon master.
Thank you.
Hold on. Natalie earned that through a rigorous, rigorous trial to just bestow that on
Kato. I apologize.
Which is no offense to Kato. In fact, it would be offensive to Kato to give it to him without the right to earn the title.
You're right. As a Pokemon trainer,
thank you.
Fair?
Yeah, fair.
How do you feel about these ooblets? Do you feel like they're... I've sent you a link here. This has all the ooblets, which, like, spoilers, there are some other ooblets here that I haven't seen yet.
That's fine.
But I want to know how you think they rate.
Pants a bear.
They're good. They're good.
The thing is, they're all human, not humanoid. They all have legs. They all have human-y legs. There's no critters. They're not like four-legged mammalian.
Oh, there are. Like, Doozy Doug could probably...
Just something I pick up at the Whole Foods.
Yeah, but he walking around... Doozy Doug walking around on his back feet.
Yeah.
Doozy Doug wears pants like this. Gloopy long legs got some long legs, honestly.
They all got legs. And most of them also have little arms. I think they're very cute, honestly. Like, straight up, I think that even though you're right, like, they all have this kind of like bipedal design that's probably having to do with the fact that they all dance. right?
That and is probably a big probably part of it.
Yeah. Trying to map animations onto like different bodies. I feel like a lot of times the mistake that certain of these like creature like collecting games can get into is chasing the Pokemon aesthetic. Like, this is chosen a very specific one of like, these are all kind of plants, mostly plants. Some of them are more animal like, but like you still technically
or robots. Grow them. There's some robots right, in here.
Which is great, honestly. But like, I think they're all really cute. And
do we have a favorite? Who's everyone's favorite on this list?
Clomper.
Tud.
Clomper. Wait, Tud is so Clomper's cute too. Good. I love Clomper's Tud.
Good. Tud is good. I'm a fan of Oogum.
Oogum. I love Oogum.
Oogum needs a haircut, but same. So
see, yeah. My favorite is you got to scroll a bit longer. It's a tournament only Ooblet, apparently. Gloopy long legs.
I said Gloopy long legs got them long legs. Gloopy long legs is like what if a Metroid grew legs and shaved
and shoes and shoes. Shoes.
Bought shoes.
So I've not played this game, but just looking at this list of creatures, I find it slightly off-putting because they just look like normal people I would talk to and hang out
in any other
RPG. So I feel there's a little bit of like, are these just people? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're very small. I don't know if that helps at all.
Good to know, Kato.
They're really small, so please work on my people. Farm. On my farm or else.
Wow. Like a cat, wouldn't you be in your own home? I don't know.
Uh-huh. But also, another good one. Just wanted to say Clicky Claws.
Clicky Claws.
Clicky Claws.
Look at that. Look at the little angry friend.
Of the ones that I actually have, Clicky Claws is absolutely my favorite. I want a Tud. Tud was one of the options for like your starters. And yeah,
I chose that option, by the way.
I did not because I went with the robot Sidekey.
I also want the
robot because Sidekey, I really hoped that I could just get a Tud later. It didn't seem to say that sort of like Pokemon starter thing of like, you will never be able to find one of these. So I'm like crossing my fingers, hoping I could just get one.
I bet you
but
do.
I think early access, Tud is right? the fucking cutest.
Things are going to change.
Yeah, true.
Which again, and I think I'm going to do the thing. Like I'm beating myself up a little bit for having played this game at all because I'm like, oh, I'm done now. I should stop and wait for it to come out on early access.
Right.
But I think that's the ideal way. If you're going to do it, like jump in, get an idea of the game, what you like, what you don't like, then come back in 6 months and like see where it's at. I think that's actually an interesting way to do it.
Sells it. Yeah, yeah.
I can tell already that this is going to be something I fuck with, so I don't want to get too far into it.
Totally. Speaking of early access things, we can talk about Super Hot Mind Control Delete. The new Super Hot game that has been in early access, I guess, for quite some time.
I thought we were just talking about today because it's fucking a million degrees in New York.
Okay, it's super hot. I got you. I see what you're doing.
Oh, Jesus. I was like, was Kato muted and then just like
Came in the weird conversation point? No. So Super Hot Mind Control Delete is a run-based take on Super Hot. Super Hot, if you don't remember, is a kind of first-person shooter puzzle game, almost, where you had a first-person perspective. The world around you either didn't move in the original or only moved very slowly or moved when you moved. I can't remember if it was 100% still if you weren't moving or if I'm confusing that.
I believe it was 100% still, but you could be backed into a corner where it's like, great, like the moment I move, like that knife is gonna
hit me. Yeah, totally.
And then the variant was, I think if you haven't fucked around in VR at all, like Super Hot is like one of those games that like convince you like that there's merit in it being more than just immersive. That like as a medium, it can do something different. Because Super Hot being able to like dodge your head around something as you're moving through the world is so fucking cool.
And so Super Hot Mind Control Delete is not VR. It is only mouse and keyboard, or it might not only be mouse and keyboard. The controller might work, but it's on PC right now. It's just coming out of early access. And there are things about it that I really like. And part of what I like about it is just like sometimes you just want to quickly play a little super hot. It's like such like a rewarding thing to be in a room with like six giant red crystalline dudes who are coming at you. And then you got to be like, all right, how do I get out of this one? It's a great how do I get out of this
one. Dream of Austin.
That's it. I love to be in a room with six dudes coming at me with baseball bats. I'd be like, all right, let me just juke. All right, now I got a katana. Boom, got him. That original game is really good at that stuff. And part of the reason why the original game is so good at it is, of course, that it's not procedurally generated. It's not just a set of maps that repeats.
This has been my pause. I haven't played this yet, but this has been my pause when I was like, oh, a new Superhot, I'm in. And then when I read the concept,
it's not authored levels,
some of the Steam reviews, I was like, oh, shit, like the puzzle part. I'm not saying it has to always be that way, but that was what I glommed onto and was interested in.
So, like, a great example of the original Superhot is there's a level where you wake up. You're kind of jumping between scenarios in the original Superhot. And so you'll be like, oh, shit, what's this next level? And you're in an elevator, and there are three dudes pointing guns at you. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, this is a tight space. How do I win this fight? And you figure it out, right? There are lots of solutions in a sense, but they are solutions to what is effectively a puzzle. And the way the Superhot mind control delete works, there are pre-made environments that all have doors, and enemies can spawn from those doors. And there are other things that can change depending on kind of how deep into the game that you are. So, for instance, I'm like three levels deep of basically a sort of like you kind of have like an ASCII node-based dungeon that you're working through, and each node is a level or a story bit or an upgrade, basically. And the nodes that I'm at now have enemies that are like, for instance, covered in porcelain, basically, and so only one bit of their body will be the crystal that you can hurt, which is really interesting. It's like, oh shit, I have to hit this person in the left arm or else I won't get a kill. Or you have people who the weapons become the red crystal and they break when you kill them, and so you don't get their weapon, which is like a big part of this game, is to like, you know, John Wick your way through a level, basically taking people out, grabbing their weapons, utilizing their weapons, moving on, right? And those things are really cool. And so are the abilities, because the way the abilities work, the way that the game has basically worked is you get to a node, and a node is basically a series of, I want to say, six or seven levels, with upgrades in the middle. And you have a certain number of lives, basically, or you have a certain number of hearts, you have health now, to get through the entire set of like seven levels, that like chain of levels. And every other level or every two levels, depending on, I think, the node, you get an upgrade. And those upgrades include things like bullets penetrate through enemies and go all the way through an entire level, start every level with a gun or a sword. I got one that was turn all throwable objects into grenades. And what that does is just you throw a salt shaker. When it hits the ground, it turns into a bunch of bullets firing backwards in a fan in the direction opposite of where the impact was. And so you can get some really cool sequences there where you're like, all right, two guys are coming down the stairs at me. Oh, right, I have that grenade upgrade. Let me grab this frying pan, throw it over their heads, and have the bullets rain back down at them from behind. And that stuff is sick. That stuff does work really well, but it's really hard not to still feel like, would I get more out of a 90-minute game where all those abilities were built into the level design and didn't just rely on, hey, I'm back in this disco level, and this time I have this power, and the enemies have these abilities, etc. So it's a little flat for me. It's nice to jump in to get a taste. I've been kind of doing like one big node per day, one or two per day. So I'm like making my way through the game pretty slowly. It seems like it's long. It seems like it's like supposed to be a big, chunky, hearty experience. And I think that the core premise is kind of interesting. That game has been, that series, both in VR and before, because the VR game is not just regular Superhot, has been like VR, mind control, violence, like, you know, in that space of just like, oh, we're being a little provocative here. We're trying to be like, you know, a little Hotline Miami 1-ish about, hey, doesn't it feel good to do violence in video games? And I've been like, all right, yeah, okay. You made it really fun to do violence in video games. Don't fucking tut me for that. The premise of this is you beat the game, or the Superhot happened, and you're done. And there's no more Superhot. And you're like, no, motherfucker, make me more Superhot. and the super hot algorithm is like, I'm trying my best to make you more super hot. You don't do this. This isn't going to be good. And so the very opening of the game is very much you moving through unfinished levels, or it like pushing you back in time. So it feels like it's drawing the level in front of you a little. It's like, yeah, I need a little more. Give me a few more seconds to finish this corridor. And the idea of the proc gen nature of it being narratively anchored in this thing that's like, I insist, sir, give me more super hot, is very interesting. Like, I'm curious about where that story does go, because you get little drips of, like, you know, to call it like a big narrative moments is not true, but there are moments of just like, here's some text on the screen, here's a little bit of world detail.
There was more to super hot than I said. Yes. Like, part of the reason it worked as well as it did was because I had no expectations, and then it did more than I anticipated.
That's totally
in a good way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was definitely also – I've always been a fan of these games. I'm not – to the degree that I was chiding it a little bit there, please know that it's like I'm chiding it, and also I really liked playing those games. And even as a non-VR person, Superhot VR is like a must-play thing.
Is that on Quest?
Is on Quest. I played it on Quest. It feels great on Quest. Like, it's just – dude, it's such a good, hey, try this game.
Ugh, no wires.
Ugh. No wires. It's so good. So yeah, that's super hot. Mind Control Delete. I'll probably stick with it for a little while. Also, I guess I should say, if you bought Super Hot, you have Super Hot Mind Control Delete. There's an FAQ up on their site. So go look that up. I did not buy Super Hot. I must have gotten a code. I think I remember that they sent a billion codes to every press outlet because they were like, oh no, we want as many people to play this game as possible because we know that the way that people are going to get into our game is gifts of this game. So this game also has that. This game also has the thing of like, here's a replay of your last level. Do you want to export it as a GIF? And most of the time I'm like, no, I was really sloppy. But every once in a while I'm like, yo, I look dope. Let me hit export on that. So that's Super Hot Mind Control Delete. Pretty interesting. I'm glad that they're still working on stuff. I'm curious what they do next, because what I really want from that team is not more super hot. I want the super hot team to try a new thing, you know. We should take a quick break, and when we come back, we talk more about games people will be playing.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, we're back. I had like a little false intro there. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Gita.
Hello.
You have been playing this game whose title I've been trying to figure out how I wanted to say. And now I have more. Okay. Here are options.
Okay.
Sin O Alice. Sin Alice. They put the O and just like, no, just nothing. Like Hunter Hunter, even though there's an X in the middle. Yeah. Sino Alice. Or the Japanese pronunciation, which is she no Alice or Alisu.
We're definitely not doing that.
Well, that last one is the thing is it's a pun.
Oh god.
She in Japanese is death. And so the name of this game is and no is of, right? So or it's like a possessive. The name of this game is like Alice of the Dead. That's why it's she no Alice. But we could just call it Sin of Alice or Sino, whatever you've been calling it, you should continue calling it. I've now said the thing, whatever the right title is, it's one of the things I just said. The game has given us no direction on how we are supposed to say it. So please, Gita, talk to me about the new Square Enix Yoko Taro directed
Hold on. Before
that's Patrick Klepek's music.
You set me up perfectly.
I did my best. I could tell where this was going. I was trying to lob it up there for you.
And so I published an interview with Yoko Taro.
Sure did, yeah.
And it's very good. There's a lot of really good
ones. Well, they seem to basically around. Just make fun of you and your questions for the like.
It turns
they
out
did they do that.
It's great, which it's fantastic. It's a really good interview. So someone chimed in response to publish the interview and said, this is I-I-O-T-E-N-K-I.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Iotenki?
Iotenki. Tom James. Tom James is a fantastic localizer translator.
I can never trust people's actual names and their like Twitter names. So it's like when you write
yes,
Tom James, the Daigo Umera of dating sims. I'm like, I don't know if you're Tom James.
That's true.
Anyway, so Tom writes it. Great. So this is even more credibility. Thank you,
yes.
Austin.
He worked with us on Matt Galt's piece about that game about a Japanese cult.
He helped
Matt on stuff. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Go read that article. It's good.
Writes in to say, chiming in to say this is obviously a really funny interview. One thing I wanted to point out, Yoko is actually his last name, not Taro. Even in English, he writes his name in Japanese order, family name first. Easy to mix up since the other famous Yoko is a first name. But yeah, and that's okay, all right, well.
So this whole time, Taro Yoko in
Taro Yoko.
But if he writes it in English,
knowing
Yoko
that that's
Taro,
how English people are going to say
which he
say
definitely
it,
does.
Right.
We should just call him Yoko Taro. I think it's a mononym at this point. I think he's
I'm also, but I, when I learned him. This, I was like, well, I'm going to have to ask him the next time. I was like, all right.
Totally.
I was like, are you shitposting me through your name as well? I don't know.
The answer is yes.
Like, is the ultimate, he's just like, look at these shitty English people that don't know any better. He can't even look up a Wikipedia entry to see what my real name is.
Well. Anyway.
Right. For people who don't know, in Japanese, it's surname first. And so a lot of Japanese, like, names that you might know are written in Japanese, the surname would come first. But when it's anglicized, they tend to just swap it. So Yoko Taro always wants to do things the other way.
Yeah.
So, signed up. This game. Tell me about this game.
Okay, so the first thing you really need to know about Sinnoh Alice, which is this, I haven't actually said the name of it out loud either until this moment.
It's so tough.
I've been playing it with the only person I see during my day is my boyfriend, and he doesn't care what the name of this game is.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing on your phone? And I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll see you in a minute.
I'm looking at my goth girlfriends. Okay, chill. Yeah.
Listen, we live together now. We have live-in girlfriend privileges. You gotta let me do my thing. So the really big thing about this game, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it's sort of like there's a bunch of characters from fairy tales, but they're all really twisted.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They're all different. They're all dark now.
American McGee.
American McGee's Yoko Taro's Sinnoh Alice.
American McGee's
Hot Topic presents.
Right. Uh-huh.
Oh, my. It's very much steampunk is an adjective I would use to describe some of the costume designs here.
Okay.
A lot of extraneous gears and creepy dolls and stuff. It's got a lot of the Yoko Taro, like, flair, though. The two main characters that interact with you to tell you, like, tutorialize the game for you are two creepy dolls that are, like, obviously and knowingly evil, who laugh at you all of the time, and they're called Para and Noia. My favorite thing they do is when you're doing your gacha pulls is sometimes you'll only, you know, you'll get not very many rares, and one of the dolls will just say, we want more rares, and the other doll will kick its head off, and it'll give you another rare.
Wow, nice.
Making fun of me for playing a
gacha
game.
One. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, this is a mobile gacha game. I know the very basic premise is the authors of the fairy tales or of the stories are dead or gone, and they want their authors back? Is that correct?
Yes. So they've only said... So the... Yes, essentially, is that these characters, you start off with Snow White, Alice from Alice in Wonderland, Gretel, Pinocchio, Red Riding Hood, and Cinderella. They are in this world called the Library, where they all live together, and all these characters from fairy tales all live together in this world. And they all are there because they're competing with each other to see how many nightmares they can defeat, nightmares just being the generic monsters, in order to bring back the author of the story because they all have changes they'd like to do to their story.
Ooh, interesting. Wait.
So.
Wait.
Yes.
There's a near crossover.
Yes, and it's happening right now. And what? I have
wait,
to be
does
and
that
Emma.
Mean, does that mean that Yoko Taro is one of the authors who's fucked, who's made mistakes, and his own characters want to bring him back to create to correct their own stories?
It remains to be seen, but yes, potentially. You know, like they okay. are members of the library now, and it's been revealed in a different near event that the library is also a part of the Drakengard universe and the Nier universe.
Fucking is.
Yeah. The primary connection to Drakengard 3, because of course it is. But
sure.
It's mostly like they deviate so wildly and so like wildly from the stories of the fairy tales. Two of them I think are actually pretty good. Like Snow White is a character who they looked at her and saw that, you know, she's dressed in white, she represents purity. So they've taken her pure, uncorruptible pureness and turned her into sort of an evil, you know, sort of blood knight, essentially, where everything that isn't pure, like she is, must now be destroyed. So she's a paragon of justice, but it's a twisted and warped justice. That sort of makes sense with that character. That character perhaps being representation of pure, virginal, like, pureness. Cinderella, I also really like her story because what's happened to her in this universe is she's in her story was treated so poorly by like literally everyone that she now is deriving pleasure through killing because she gets to treat other people how she was treated.
Fucking twisted.
It's so twisted. But like all the rest of them just like kind of take the name of the character and then just go in some other direction entirely. Gretel, carries around Hansel's head because Hansel's dead and he just talks to Hansel all the time and thinks Hansel's still alive. Red Riding Hood loves to just do murder, just do indiscriminate murder. She just loves to murder everybody.
That's classic Red,
just
you know?
Classic Red Riding Hood. The moral of her story was just kill everybody and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh God, Princess Kaguya is the horniest of all of them. She's... At least this one is also somewhat derived from the story it's telling. But the idea is that in the story of Princess Kaguya, she is so beholden to fate that she and is so like really thrown down the stairs by fate in that story in a lot of ways that she becomes a masochist who loves the pain that life has put her through. And she talks about how much she loves to be hurt all the time. She loves it. Pinocchio is compelled by his staff, which might be a living thing to kill. So yeah, it's a lot of that. Sleeping Beauty, she just wants to go to sleep. That one I relate to. That one feels real enough to me. But like the deviations here are just so, so, so bonkers. That said, when the writing is good in this game, it's fun. It's like a fun, like you once stopped at Hot Topic and, you know, listened to Marilyn Manson kind of way. It's indulgent. It's like incredibly indulgent. The actual gameplay is perfectly suited towards people like me that just need to do something with their hands when a television show is on, where you don't actually, there will be places where you do have to strategize, but for the most part, if you're just trying to do your dailies, you can do that without actually looking at the screen at all, which rocks. But the thing I like the most about it is this, like, this PvP thing that they do once per day. You join a guild, which you are encouraged to do from the outset. Once per day, you will fight another guild. And that has been really, really fun, even though guilds keep kicking me out for some reason. I don't know why.
Rude.
Yeah, very it is rude. They don't tell me. Nap gang. I thought we were homies, but you kicked me out. So this is this thing where like there's 15. It's a 15v15 fight where you have people who are doing damage in the vanguard. And then everyone else just does buffs and debuffs and revives and like healing and stuff like that. And it is this really, really chaotic, but like you can tell that your presence does make a difference. And it's very, very fun to get together with a bunch of like random strangers every day and just talk about strategy and how you're going to, you know, what what your pulls you've gotten that's going to make, you know, your battle in the Colosseum like a little bit easier this time. And that has been the thing that I, that and the fact that it has not yet forced me to pay money are the two things that keep me
going. Yeah, that ain't bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's I kept, there's a period in every gacha game where you just will feel very compelled to spend a ton of money and to get whatever pull you want. And they have give you a lot of missions that give you a lot of twilight crystals, which are the things you use to do pulls. And they are still really plentiful after like about 2 weeks I've been playing this just idly. I still have, I have 783 twilight crystals right now. It's 300 per pull. They give you a bunch for free when you first like first join the game. And then all the missions you do just sort of like tutorialize the game for you also give you a bunch. And it's still, you know, I still have not hit the point where I'm like, I really need the version of Alice that is like a cleric class or whatever. So I'm going to just spend a whole bunch of money to get it. And I feel like as soon as I reach that point, it's not going to be worth it to me, but I'm not there yet.
Well, keep me in the loop. It makes me want to fucking play this. Go ahead. I have, what were you going to say?
Well, I have a question. I started this game also like right when it came out. I didn't play very much of it, but I do have these two screenshots which I'm going to drop in here. And I'm wondering how much into this story tree you've gotten, because it looks kind of like one of those.
Oh yeah. I'm almost done with all of the chapters up to chapter 5. I've beaten chapter 5, which means I've unlocked the next series of stories, which adds more characters like Little Mermaid. But I haven't done all of the individual chapters here. So each story has five chapters for each character, and they all have their own individual story. The stories from in each chapter are like kind of dumb most of the time, but it is worth it to see the crossover chapters, I would say. Watching the characters interact with each other has been the most fun. Especially, I think, again, I think these are the two best written characters, Cinderella and Snow White, with their crossover chapter is Snow White trying to show Cinderella that, you know, you can like you can use the sort of righteous fury she has for in service of just, you know, causes. And Cinderella saying that, you know, Snow White's version of justice is just as depraved as Cinderella is, which I thought was like an interesting. It's like very Yoko Taro in these characters are just representatives of ideologies. And so what you're doing is watching ideologies fight with each other in these chapters. So it's, I mean, they are very blatant about that. Snow White is justice. Cinderella is depravity. Gretel is delusion. It takes its cues from how Yoko Taro writes characters.
Do you only do those once, right? I was always wondering because the way it's laid out here, I like really reminded me of certain Drakengard / Nier timeline charts that you see out there, just like with a bunch of things crossing over and stuff. But ultimately, you only play those crossover ones once.
You only play the crossover ones once. Okay. Yeah. So now that I've defeated Chapter 5, that counts as defeating it for all different characters.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep watching my friends play this game and convincing myself not to play this game because that's the gacha United that I'm States. Still waiting on.
Even though I'm World Flipper to the United States.
They're making an art book, right? That's what the last update. So
people update us on Twitter. For people, World Flipper is gacha games are like. I don't need to fill more time, and so like gacha games, I get their role, but they're not my thing. But I love pinball games that have progression. Like I love pinball. Don't like progression because the high score thing doesn't do much for me. But World Flipper is like a gacha game with it looks fucking incredible.
It 2D looks so art. Good. It's so gorgeous.
It's just really, really beautiful. And then it's also like got progression. It's got the gacha stuff, but it's only like been released in Asia, and people will update us time and time again with like little updates or like maybe clues that maybe we'll get an English translation. The most recent one was that they're putting out an art book, which is like, well. And it's a flimsy theory, which is, it seems like it's doing well enough to get an art book.
Right.
It's like, they would localize
it. Maybe one day they'll localize it. That's all. We'll see.
If I just keep banging the table.
I mean, God, this is the thing. Is like, I went deep into Granblue Fantasy earlier this year and played for, like, you know, 2 months or something, like, every single day. And then I fell off of it because life caught up. Because COVID happened. is what happened. And now I don't have a, I don't go anywhere.
That was like a transit game, yeah.
I barely look at my phone compared to where I was, you know, 6 months ago because, God, how long has it been? Okay, yeah, 6 months is fine. and a big part of that is just like not being on mass transit, not going anywhere, not even like not being at a coffee shop where like I have my phone next to me at all times. Like I'm in front of a computer most of the day or I'm doing errands or something. Maybe I'm listening to something on my phone, but I'm very rarely just straight up. Like, oh, my phone is in my hand. And so gacha games have been tough for me to keep up with, or mobile games in general. I haven't played as much Golf on Mars as I wanted to play. I downloaded a really cool – I'll shout it out, actually, because it's very similar in goth girl – anime goth girl aesthetic. There's a kind of roguelike – or not CCG, a roguelike deck builder called Phantom Rose on iOS that is pretty good. Like it's really I think it's very sharp what they've done with the card game design of it. They like limit how many cards can be in your deck. You have to get rid of cards pretty regularly. And the way it works basically is that you are every fight has like multiple phases. There's kind of like slots that you can put your attacks into. So it's like you have two slots, the enemy has two slots, there are four slots in every fight. And so you're like, okay, the first slot, I have the first slot, the third slot, let me put armor on the first slot so I can, you know, soak the damage from my enemy in the second slot, and on the third slot, I'll do my big attack, and then the fourth slot, the enemy will heal themselves and win back some of that. And like that back and forth is actually extremely good. So that's called Phantom Rose, but I like barely played that. I play it like, you know, once every other day. I'm like, oh yeah, right, I was playing that game, I forgot about that game. It's cool. It's like shout out to that thing on iOS. But yeah, like I wish I'm looking at my phone more. I'm happy to not be looking at my phone as much, but the side effect is that Yoko Taro can release a game on iOS, or you know, Square Enix can release a game directed by Yoko Taro on iOS, and I won't play it because I'm not looking at my fucking phone ever. So, oh well, I guess.
Waka waka.
Speaking of dark things, Patrick, can you talk about Carrion?
Yeah, I can. I saw you just, Carrion is a sort of like horror. Where are we on the Metroidvania discourse? For a long time, it's like don't use that title. It's like call it a Metroid style game. I'm back to
you're back to Metroidvania.
I'm just like fuck
listen,
it. You know
COVID-19, what? COVID-19, comfort first. You know what I mean? Take care
game
of yourself.
Game genres are bad. Like, all right, so you know what? Why are we sitting here like wringing our hands over Metroidvania when what does an action adventure game even mean? Anyway, so Carry On is a game that comes out this week on Switch and PC and I would guess some other platforms. I don't have it in front of me right now. But it's a the premise is. You know, what if in a fleshy abomination, you know, escaped from an experimental lab, but you are the fleshy abomination instead of trying to take it out. And so it's got really gorgeous 2D pixel art. It has like the Metroid style setup where you start as a small fleshy thing, and then you, as you like explore the laboratory, you find different things that give you different sort of like upgrades, different ways to navigate the environment. I played it last at E3 last year. I played it for like an hour, and it's coming out this week. I haven't had a chance to play the final version yet, but I really enjoyed the time I spent with it. You know, back when E3 was a thing, and you know what, it doesn't have to be a thing in the future. It's good. You're good, E3.
Damn.
Wow.
So I can speak more specifically to it when I get a chance later this week. But I just want to like put it on people's radars. Like gotcha. I really enjoyed the time that I spent with it before. So my guess is it was pretty good then and pretty good now. And I think the premise is a lot of fun.
Yeah, watching gameplay footage. I've not played it, but watching gameplay footage of just this like writhing mass of like blood tentacles is a lot and seems good. And
that would be a good name for that game as well. Like if somebody writhing mass of blood last tentacles. Minute, yeah, uh-huh. Trademark problem. Just yeah.
God, yeah. I'm curious. I it's funny because I did not realize it was a Metroidvania. I had somehow thought of it as being like linear levels, or I didn't know what the game structure was. So hearing that there is kind of like a larger world map, or not map, but you know.
Yeah,
what I
forget exactly. Like I don't want to be like too, like I'm. That's my remembrance of how it is being dropped in. But like, I guess it is possible that it's linear and you're getting upgrades. But I want to say that I was going back to different places, and it at least has that sort of flow.
Yeah,
even if there's more a more linear structure. I don't know if it has the giant map with like a red, you know, icon saying like door closed until you can get the upgrade that lets you melt steel or whatever.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cool. Anything else you want to shout out, Patrick?
The last thing I wanted to shout out was I wrote about Paper Mario, the Origami King, last week, specifically around the notion that I like was having trouble grokking the combat system because my brain has trouble with shapes, which, like, of course it makes sense. Like, this has, like, I don't think I have what, like, a lot of people reached out over this that, like, have various where, like, the condition it's called or what it's been labeled is, like, aphantasia, which is, like,
aphantasia. Yeah.
Where it's, like, you have trouble visualizing shapes in your head.
I almost asked you what your cube score was, but didn't want to open the floodgates into aphantasia.
It's like this is really interesting to read about like different artists who you would think like, oh, to be like good at art, you must be good at visualizing things in your head. And that's just not the case. Lots of artists actually like have, you know, this is the way their brains work, and they still manage to be really terrific artists. And I don't think I like, you know, if, obviously all these things are on a spectrum. Like I can visualize shapes in my head. Like that's not an issue for me, but it is trouble for me to like go from like putting the circle in my head to doing anything with it. So that's the problem I run into with Paper Mario. Is like, cool, like I could visualize the circle, but I don't know how to rotate it in my head. And so I'm at an impasse. And what's been interesting playing the game longer, I've been spending more time with it. Now this is like the game. I wanted to go back to Ghosts of Tsushima, but now I'm like, I just want to finish Paper Mario and then I'll go back to that later. And what's been interesting is that playing this game has been revealing for how I've dealt with this, the way my brain functions my whole life, which is, oh, because I have trouble visualizing things and manipulating in my head, I just do brute force, like, pattern recognition over time, which thus explains why, like, in, you know, the rudimentary, like, I'm good at algebra, bad at geometry, like, that's just how I've approached a lot of these things. So like in Origami King, I've now just done combat enough times that I just see the pattern.
You're not learning formulas. You're learning solutions. And
I'm just recognizing, oh, I've seen this shape before, and then I know I rotate this in this to get the desired outcome. It is not I am actually employing any sort of thinking to this. I'm literally just applying what I've seen before. So it's just fascinating where now a lot of the combat in the moment-to-moment combat is now exceptionally boring because there's not enough variety. There's not even something to make me feel bad about my brain.
Right.
Now it's just cool. I'm just copying and pasting. So now I'm going way out of my way to not engage in any of the moment-to-moment combat and only prioritizing the boss encounters, which I've done like four more of them since we last spoke, and they're terrific. They're all super great. And the game actually puts in some mechanics to kind of aid you in your quest to do exactly what I'm doing, which is the reason you want to do combat is to have access to money so you can get accessories. And so the accessories will make you have like better health or like higher defense buffs, there'll be like a little jingle when there's a secret nearby. And so those get more expensive as time goes on, yada yada. But there are things like a golden boots you can equip or a golden hammer, because those are your two main modes of attack, that will get enemies to dump all shitloads of coins out. So you can just equip those and then like just go through combat long enough to like exhaust those. So that'll take you maybe 10, 15 minutes, and you'll have plenty to like purchase whatever you need to purchase. And then you can go back to
That's cool.
Ignoring, or at least like I wait until I get to a new area. And so it's like, then there'll be some wrinkles. For example, like I've run into ghost enemies. And like, so the boos, they appear on the circle to start, and then once the circle locks, they go invisible. And so then you have to. So that really doesn't work for my head. I just skip them.
I bet.
Like, I just hold. I was like, really? Like, you're going to make me figure out this circle and then also remember where those ghosts are? Like, sorry. Brain break. So I'll just like do the toad help button and just have them get revealed on the screen. But when there are new enemies that introduce a wrinkle like that, I'll mess with it for 45 minutes till I exhaust what's interesting about it, and then just dance around them till I get to the boss. And so I'm still finding it deeply charming, fun, and like weirdly disturbing. Like, I'll wait a week or two, and then I'll spoil some of the bits that are like really. This game is like weird in some very weird ways. But like a small one is that I just went to a temple where you're trying to rescue a bunch of toads, and their faces have been clipped out. These are toads who cannot speak, who cannot communicate. They have just had holes made in their heads.
Cool.
And you need to figure out why.
Don't love it, Patrick. Don't.
Yeah,
no, I don't like this.
And then the boss you get to, one of his main mechanics is that he's able to clip your face. And
don't
just,
like
you know,
it.
No. Yeah.
Great.
Don't
no,
say clip
thank
my
you.
Face.
And the game is full of like little bits like that. Like it's aware. Like it's
yeah.
It's doing a very good job at various points playing with the fact that haha, look at this cutesy aesthetic.
Yeah.
We're gonna throw in something fucking weird to throw you off balance.
God.
And there's like very one specifically with the all I'll say is the end of the there's an arc to this character, this little babam that you befriend, and where their story goes is just you should look it up on YouTube if. You're not going to play this game.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we'll check back in a week or two. Remind me. And we'll.
Please
I want to explain what happens with Babam.
God. A quick thing, too. Please remind me in a week to talk about Thousand Threads. I did an interview with the solo developer of that game back at a PAX a few years ago, and that's coming out in like 10 days. I put some time into that. I don't want to go too deep into it now because it's not out yet and I don't want people to forget about it. I do my talk and then that's it and then never revisit it again. But just put that – if that's a game that you listen to that interview from me with, you know, back in 2018, I want to say maybe, then know that that's coming out in like 10 days. It's called Thousand Threads. I think there's an article on the site from when the first trailer came out even. The other thing, a quick shout out is I have continued to play Aria Chronicle, that kind of Etrian Odyssey, Darkest Dungeon-y anime,
right.
Like dungeon crawling RPG, and it's continued to be really good. Like I came into it kind of cold or kind of disappointed that it wasn't like exactly the thing I wanted, but now I've gotten deep enough into it. I hit like the boss of the second big area, and that fight was one of the more nail-biting like RPG fights I've had in recent memory. Literally like down to the wire, used all my consumables, like no magic points left, really needed like a few big hits to land. The boss kept healing itself in a way that was like not frustrating because I understood how it was doing it, but was like forced me to really engage with every aspect of the play, which I really like when an RPG does that for me. So Aria Chronicle continues to be good. I think they announced that it's coming to Switch late this year, which feels like a good place to play it, honestly. Like it feels like a good, okay, I'm going to go do a quick dungeon run. And the dungeon lengths are definitely, you can know, okay, am I getting into a big one or am I getting into like a little quick taste of a thing. It's like some of the quests will just be like, oh, go get these three nodes of ore for someone. And the other ones will be like, all right, you're going to go fight a wyvern somewhere deep in this jungle. Like that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a long one. So also there's a funny thing happening with just the game's story out the gate where it's very clear you're fighting this cult and the cult is like, listen, the end of the world is coming. We got to get ready. And you're like, these cultists are bringing the end of the world. And like no. I think the cultists might be onto this. I think that they're trying to please slow down. Please talk to these weirdo cultists. Also, the cultist leader, I don't think I have a screenshot of him, but he's just ripped. He's just this ripped weirdo.
Am I wrong? When I was reading the Steam reviews, someone pointed out that isn't the cult called Cult? Like, it doesn't have a name.
It doesn't,
just
it doesn't,
like,
it doesn't have
the cult.
Just the cult. Just the cult. it's a cool. I'm really enjoying it, and a lot of the character designs are, you know, it is a very specific like. So I actually found out, despite the fact that all the voices are in Japanese, it's a Korean developed game. The studio's from Korea, and it has like a very, but it has a very like anime aesthetic, and it's. I found the dude. I was stalling for time so I could show you Bade. His name is Bade. Also. Look at this fucking cult leader. Sorry, Bale.
Bade. Oh, it's a Bade Pig in the City.
Bale.
My favorite George Miller film.
Look at this dude's fucking ripped six pack with his goofy ass cult necklace and mask, his Super Saiyan hair.
His hand is, the proportions there are.
We got a name for those, Patrick. Those are Yowie hands. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Not going to Google it.
Don't ask what that means.
Won't. No interest.
No, please, Patrick, Google it.
There is a...
people are gonna at me moment this podcast goes up.
That's true. There's this lady who's like you're the thief in town who buys stolen stuff, who is just 100% Hot Topic, like, goth girlfriend again, named Nadia. She's sick. And then, like, your starting paladin is the buffest fucking lady I've ever seen in a video game.
Oh my god!
She's incredible, and she's a paladin, so she's like extremely lawful good. I made my main character, who is like the cute dainty princess Aria from the name Aria Chronicle. You get to pick whatever character class you want for her at the very beginning of the game. And I picked Exile because Exiles are criminals who've learned like a Berserker style fighting, stance. And when I picked Berserker, that big paladin lady was like, "You hang out with criminals? Princess, you shouldn't do that." And the princess was like, "They're not criminals. Listen, they're not bad people. It's unfair what's happened to them. They're chill. Also, they taught me how to use this giant sword." And I really loved how upset this buff paladin lady. I gotta explain. This buff paladin lady is like buff the way the dude characters in Dragon's Crown were buff. Like, just huge upper body, giant armor, and then just, like, this wicked pink page boy haircut with bright pink lipstick. She is here to go. This game is all right. This game's all right. This guy looks like there's a bartender you deal with who looks like a Streets of Rage bartender. Just, like, he has an eye patch on and a tie for some reason. It's good. These characters are good. Anyway, Aria Chronicle still pretty good.
Is that cult leader's? Is that symbol not just the Sheikah symbol from Breath of the Wild? Is that the Yiga clan symbol, but up right side up?
Are you a lawyer? Is that what are you doing? Are you
trying
a fucking
to get this
lawyer?
Game taken down?
Please,
shut
the fuck up. Yahoo anime rules.
Shit.
Shut the fuck up, Kato. I don't need this shit.
She wasn't sure.
We're gonna send this paladin after you.
I'm gonna get this paladin and not, like, boom, boom, boom. Lord Kato, I heard thou dost talk shit.
Wow.
Shut it the fuck up, Kato.
Shut it the fuck up.
Jesus.
I have one email that we have to read. And then we can go. If you have an email, you can send it to gaming@vice.com. When you imagine, this comes in from Evan, when you imagine your dog or cat or etc. having a dialogue, what voice do you hear? Do all cats sound like Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, as one person answered? Is it just a higher-pitched version of your own inner dialogue? Do they speak in memes or quotes? I always heard Kate Mulgrew when I imagine my late husky speaking. I hear Ashley Birch from my standard poodle, Aria, and her son sounds like Gavin Free, who is some sort of YouTuber, I believe. Thanks for considering my question. Waypoint forever. What's the inner dialogue, monologue voice of your animal sound like in your head?
Ella sounds like me, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. Ella. Right.
I'm Ella.
Right.
And Ella is me. And she's also my daughter. So, yeah. So she sounds like me. Maybe a little bit meaner than me.
Ooh. Aspirational.
She has needs. Yeah. Yeah. She's a little princess, okay?
Yeah,
she's
I gotcha. Got you.
Yeah.
Una,
what a
Una yeah, meows. I just hear a lot of meows and assign meaning to them, you know? Like, but,
right, so it doesn't speak English. There's no internal English voice, but there is a deep underlying selfhood and in interiority there.
Which I guess, I mean, like, that voice is definitely just mine because I'm, like, translating from the meows, but the meows, her meows are just her meows.
Right.
And, like, even when she's not meowing, I imagine what meows she might make to express what is happening with either her pawing or whatever.
Right. I need to know.
Pixel was a very, very, very old Chihuahua. We don't know how old she is. We adopted her. We don't. She was a shelter animal. We got her when she could have been anywhere between like 3 and 6. She was a rejected breeder dog, just like found on the side of the road. Oof. At the when we got her, because she's like, we've had her for like 14 years, something like that. she it was at the height of the Yokiro Taco Bell marketing campaign. And so there were chihuahuas everywhere. If you didn't live through that era of Taco Bell marketing, I mean, it was fucking everywhere. And that the person who we at the shelter when we were getting Pixel explained to us, like, they in California specifically, but they said they'd heard it all over the country. There was a spike in like chihuahua breeding because kids would watch these commercials and then would want that dog. And so then all these chihuahuas are bred specifically in response to the marketing and led to a flood of chihuahuas into the market. But then like parents would realize like, oh, right, like a six-year-old doesn't want to walk and take care of an animal. Mm-hmm. And so they just started like they kept finding chihuahuas on the streets. Like they would just like not take them to a shelter. Just like, okay, well, go out there. And so Pixel was one of those dogs. Anyway, she doesn't speak very much. So I always feel like I'm always just getting like visual cues from her facial expressions. Like whatever, if it was like an RPG character, like it would just be like dot, dot, dot. And it's like, I'm just infer from like the furrowed eyebrow. Right. And like, what exactly I'm supposed to be figuring out. She's just not a very communicative animal. She won't, like, paw the door to, like, go out to go to the bathroom. She just, like, her way of communicating that she has to go to the bathroom is she goes to the center of the room and she just looks at you. She just looks at you. She won't move. Doesn't, like, just looks at you. And it's like, oh, she must have to, she's been fed. She has water. I guess she needs to take a shit. And so I just always have to just stare at this dog and just figure out from slight cues in its face what exactly. So that's how I have some sort of, I don't, it'd be a lot of grunts, like
okay. I feel like I'm most like this person then, in that I definitely have in the past assigned whole personalities to animals.
Of course you have. Right. This is the least surprising thing you've ever said.
Look at, this is the last cat that I had. This is Gracie, who has this incredible mustache.
Of course.
And then when she stood up, this is from when I first moved into this apartment, when the last tenant did not clean up the floor. It makes it look like she had this long white Gandalf beard.
Yeah.
And so she was extremely like a Don Quixote wandering hedge knight voice. Very like proper, adventurous, but also like old bones. Do you know what I mean? When I met her, she was like 15, you know? And so she very much like she'd seen better days, but one of those, you know, like the old cat you want to talk to at the bar who's like, oh, wow, I bet this cat has some stories, you know? Very, again, forsooth and shit like that. Good cat. I don't know. Shout outs to Gracie. I'm glad we got to share. If you have pet voices, please let us know. Also, thank you to everyone who pays their cat tax, by the way. We get people who just send cat pictures to Kato, Gita, and I, and it makes my day bright every single day.
Every time I see it, it's like a New York thing.
Oh, yeah, the cat tax, classic New York.
What if I know things are weird out there right now, but...
Yeah, for real. For, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Give it 6 months. We'll see how it goes. On that note, we should wrap this one up. We'll be back later this week. We can talk about the Xbox stuff. We can talk about other new stuff. I said that as if we already knew stuff about the Xbox thing. That's not what I meant. Please don't go back and report Patrick's earlier claim about Elden Ring
canceled.
Don't
fuck.
Why are you going to do this?
Why would you put that bad energy
into the world?
God, I watched a bunch. Right, that's the thing is, don't hex Elden Ring. Yeah. It's going to bite you in the ass.
That's true. If that game is not good, I will be so emotionally devastated.
God, you're going to be like, they should have canceled it. That's how bad it is. And then you're going to feel bad. It's on you. I watched a bunch of Dark Souls boss fights this past weekend. Someone linked me to like a thing. And I was like, damn. The series is good. This series fucking whips. I know. Controversial opinion. Dark Souls, real good. Even the Dark Souls 3 stuff. Even the Dark Souls 3 stuff, I was like a little more cold on that game than the rest of the series. I was like, you know what? I'd play Dark Souls 3 again. Shit. That game was good. Anyway,
just whether Elden Ring. Some fucking Sekiro DLC. please.
I don't think it's common at this point. I know.
They're going to make it. They'll make another one, though. I think what you actually want is the sequel. And Activision called it a franchise when they put out their sales press release. So
it was good.
Okay, I guess the monkey paw curls from Software not making Sekiro 2.
No! Oh, no.
I didn't say that. Stop.
There's so many things we can clip from this podcast.
There are. You can just make Patrick
make
say whatever you want.
So upsetting.
Remember that?
Waiting for Patrick, that Patrick.
Remember that, Vinny? Do you remember that giant bombcast where you dropped some piece of news? You're like, they're definitely not going to do blank. And then
and they did
they
it
absolutely did it. And then Vinny just cut your voice in, repeatedly insisting that they weren't going to do it. We're going to walk into that situation here. We're going to end this podcast. And then it's going to be Elden Ring's definitely not canceled. It's coming out this holiday. Now I'm saying things. I have to shut the fuck up. I fall into the trap.
Nebelian or Wario 64 is gonna take our toss.
That's true. God,
just surprised there isn't a soundboard yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's the actual thing. God, I'm ending this podcast before any of us say fake things that people will think are real things anymore. Follow me on Twitter at @Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Gita?
At @XOXOGossipGita.
Kato.
At @A_Kato_appears.
And Patrick.
At Patrick Klobuchar.
As always, you can follow everything we do, twitter.com/waypoint, waypointadvice.com. Thank you, as always, to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Payout Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. Look forward to the episode later this week where we'll, again, probably say some shit and be like, oh, no, don't take that too seriously. We're joking. It's not real. That'll be on Friday. No other bonus stuff this week. But this one is real. And let me tell you the most real shit. Here's the most real shit. Fuck capitalism. Go home.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
What's happening here?
It's because every time you missed a lot of this, Patrick, but I had a webcam once, and every time I used it, it turned off my computer. So I've been very, very upset about
this. Don't worry, I'm not shocked at this group. Cannot handle plugging in a webcam.
It's
impossible. This is like Austin, Kato, you. Just add it to the list of people who can't handle a USB device. I believe it.
It sounds like New York is cursed.
Yes, I think that is the key there.
Yeah.
Keep turning the gain down. Okay, that should be good on my end. Fantastic.
USB sounds B good. Is for de Blasio.
Wow.
Hey. Oh. That's why it doesn't do anything.
Fuck.
It just turns off.
It just turns on. It's that meme Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask.
God.
Just what de Blasio has been.
My work here is done.
But you haven't done anything.
One second.
This is your first pod in the new place, isn't it?
This is my first pod in the new place. So I just check all the gain and shit.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's going good.
Sounds good.
I hope it's going. It's quite echoey, so I was a little worried, but I think it is gonna be fine.
Yeah.
I do this. Oh, because of that. Right.
Echoes are not the biggest deal. I feel like.
But that's good. When I shout, you might hear it a little more. I'm so sorry for complaining about this. We just have 14-foot ceilings. so it's pretty easy.
Who among us does not?
So sorry about this, but...
A fun thing is, I just realized that yesterday I had to record a thing at, like... I guess this was at, like, 2:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
I just left that Audacity going. That Audacity ran for...
Oh, hell yeah.
It's fine.
Oh, my God. Is it okay? Did it actually make a file that big?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it didn't save. I just deleted down to where the end of the recording was, and I'm fixing it now.
Sorry, guys. We're going to have to, you know, reconvene in 6 hours when it finishes exporting this.
God, dead air of my bedroom. 50
gigabyte wave file.
Yeah. God.
We're all just having regular days today.
Just a regular one.
Just really a regular one. Normal shit.
And Kato, this is 329?
Yeah, 329.
All right. Cool. All right.
Excuse me.
I am recording a podcast.
Aren't we all?
And a backup. Also a backup.
Same.
Time that is? International Chess Day.
Oh, shit.
That's nice.
Happy Chess Day. 44. I feel like a 44.
Wow, okay.
It's far, I know. It's that morning. It's the morning of International Chess Day, so I needed a little more time.
Consider time to think about your next move.
Oh my god, I forgot about time dot is. It's been so long.
Oh wait, but you did clap it. You did clap?
No, I did not clap.
I see. No.
I was elsewhere, mentally.
What just happened in the last 30 seconds?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we were talking about something and then suddenly there was clapping.
And then there was clapping. Let's do 18 seconds.
Made it.
Nice.
I did it.
Good job. Good job, everyone.
Remember to clap this time.
All right, I'm going to turn off my air conditioner.